Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
That's right. It's the JR Sport Brief show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. 1 hour left. How about that? The show gets started 10 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Pacific, every single weeknight, Monday through Friday. Shout-outs to everybody listening on their local affiliate. You can also listen on the freeradio.com app, SiriusXM Channel 206, Apple Music. If you got a smart speaker, you can ask it to play CBS Sports Radio, and boom, here we are, 24-7. Me? You can tweet me. I'm on all social media at JR Sport Brief. You can also call up. I'm taking your calls, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. Thank you to super producer Stu Kovacs. As we started off the show, just pretty much having a conversation about pressure. Which quarterback is facing the most pressure in the championship games this upcoming Sunday? And more recently, we've moved the conversation over to, you know, what's going on with the NFL and its hiring process? And if you don't see or understand that there's an issue with its hiring process, then you also happen to be an issue in and of yourself, because the NFL has pretty much admitted there's a problem. It has its Rooney Rule that it instituted in 2003. You think about a lot of the coaches who have recently been hired, whether it's an Arthur Smith or a Dan Campbell or Nick Sirianni. And this is not to take anything away from them, but it's become a joke when you look at the hires, or you look at the experience. You look at a league that's 75% African-American. This is the talent pool, but that talent pool doesn't move on into management. It's something that mirrors a lot of places all over the United States of America. The NFL as a whole, throughout its history, basically went almost 70 years before having an African-American head coach. Okay, we're legitimately going from like Fritz Pollard all the way down to Art Shell. This is the 20s, almost into the 90s. And so unfortunately, this has mirrored what we have here in society, and the NFL has admitted it's wrong. The NFL says we have an issue. They say it. But the influencers and the people who can make the change, they haven't changed. And so there's more impetus onto the actual players and people outside the league to speak up. That's just the facts. And when I asked Terrell Owens about this earlier this week, he pretty much said it's up to the players. Listen to what T.O. had to tell me.
When it comes to the NFL, when you think about the authenticity of it, I don't think it's there. It's smoke and mirrors. They're going to put the money before change. And that's where it's such a drastic difference in the NBA and the NFL. They're just not talking the talk. You know, they're walking it. You know what I mean? They're doing things to make change. Social change has been at the forefront of them. It's not just it's just not the economics of it. Yeah. And for me, like I said, it's not authentic. I think if they were authentic about it, then you would see more change, more things done, just not in the aftermath.
Correct. Not just in the aftermath. The NFL, like a lot of places, is reactive, not proactive. They're not setting the table. They're not doing their part to influence change. They're not doing their part to push forward equality. They're not doing their part to push forward fairness. And it's not just an African-American issue. It is everyone who isn't just a white male. It doesn't matter if you're a woman. It doesn't matter what your sexual preference are. It doesn't matter if you're Latino. It doesn't matter if you're Asian. That's where the issue and the problem comes in. It took the NFL, even until last year, the players had to influence them to even push the NFL into a space where they go, oh, yeah, 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 we care about our black players. We care about them. Yeah, 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 they matter. They matter. We know. Okay, here's some money. A lot of folks have been reactionary. More folks need to be proactive. And so what the players did last year, they need to push that button some more. It's okay, you got a coaching fellowship and you have internship programs and you have compensatory picks and you can have all of that. And Eric Bieniemy is just the latest example. He's not the end-all, be-all here. The management structure needs to change. And the players can help influence that. The guys on the inside. Randy is calling up from Wisconsin. Randy, you're on CBS Sports Radio, the JR Sport Brief Show.
Hey, JR, thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely. Go ahead, Randy.
Hey, I sent you a message on Facebook Messenger asking you a question last week. You didn't answer, but that's no big deal. Hey, starts with Goodell.
Well, Randy, I don't know what that has to do with anything here. What I will tell you is you can feel free to look through all the messages that I receive, but go ahead.
All right. It all starts with Goodell. He's like the owner of the NFL. He makes $40 million bucks. He don't care. You know, and as far as the owners, you go to an Easterly, you go to a Ted Phillips in Chicago, they don't do anything but make the owners money. They don't care about change. You know, you look at Eric Bieniemy, they say that he's a bad interviewer. Does that matter? Look at the tape of what he's done. He made Patrick Mahomes who he is, or helped him get there. That's a fact. And I know I'm going to get a lot of flack for this, but Anthony Lynn getting fired from San Diego, I thought, was the wrong move. Whether they lost a lot of games during the year, he was a damn good coach. You look where they're at now from the beginning of the year. They were a young team, and they lost. And I hate to say this, but would that have happened to a white coach? That's all I got to say.
All right, Randy. Thank you for calling up from Wisconsin. No, there are double standards all over the place. I used a different example. Do I think that Anthony Lynn should have got the boot? Yes. Do I think his leash would have been longer if he wasn't black? Oh, yes, at the same time. But one thing I will disagree with you on is that, it stops at Roger Goodell. No, Roger, throw him out the window. No, it's the owners, the folks at the top. Clevis is calling up from South Carolina. Go ahead, Clee.
Hey, how's it going, JR?
Good. Go ahead, Clee.
I just had a couple of points. Where we're at in society nowadays, I don't believe it's going to change anytime quick. I believe we have to mesh as a society. Imagine how many friends, how many black friends you have, how many white friends you have. Same with me, I don't have a bunch of black friends. But it's not from not trying, We got to talk to each other outside of work, walk through the store, say hey to people and stuff, no matter what race they are. There is so much, stereotypical stuff that when you see different people, you think of them, someone bald-headed. Oh, you think he's a skinhead, he's a white supremacist, saying this out loud, but a black person with big pants, you think they're a criminal.
Well, Clee,
none of them necessarily are.
Clee, Clee, hold on a second here. That's we know stereotypes exist. That's facts. And so, to more specific to the subject, and yeah, I can tell you about a black experience. I don't walk around or run around with baggy pants. And the reality is, how many people here, I could walk down the street, I don't have a sign over my head that says, hey, that guy's on radio. I don't wear a sign over my head that says, hey, that guy's on TV. And so, yeah, stereotypes exist everywhere. I think the ultimate point that is applicable to society, that's applicable to the NFL as well, is to be open-minded. And that goes outside of your stereotype of a bald head or someone in baggy pants, okay? You don't gotta be black to be a criminal, common sense. You don't gotta be bald-headed to be a quote-unquote skinhead. It doesn't matter. It's just a matter of being open-minded. And that is correct. That's an excellent point. You only know what you're exposed to. But we have a lot of people who stop when they know that they can learn more, that they can open up their brain. We got a lot of folks who are just complacent with where things are. We're selfish, just what it is. And you only care about yourself because, hey, that's what you've been taught. That's what you've been exposed to. MP is calling from Atlanta. MP, how can the NFL adjust, if at all possible, just what seems to be just a revolving door?
First of all, how you doing, JR?
I'm good, MP. Go ahead.
First of all, I want to throw something out to you. If you hadn't already researched it, check out Critical Race Theory. I teach ethnic studies on the high school level, and everything you're talking about are things I address every day. The main issue, I think, with the NFL and society in general, power. People don't easily relinquish power. And when the power structure has been set up a certain way, however that structure may be set up, they're not going to readily change that very easily. Yep. And we know how this power structure in this country came into being. I'm not going to get into all that because you got other callers. But a lot of people think it starts at the bottom with the coaching, but I think it starts more at the top. And when I say that, I mean not necessarily ownership, but a lot of – if ownership started to mirror society as far as diversity, I think we'd have more diversity. But when you talk about the internal power structure of these teams, like the Atlanta Falcons just hired Fontenot, and it's just basic sociology that we tend to look towards – more towards people that look
like us.
Us.
You relate
and
to.
And if you – if you start to put those people in place in those power structures, I think that would start some of the change.
Oh, absolutely. And I think in the case of the NFL, and thank you so much, MP, for calling up from here in Atlanta, the players, they're the talent. They're the ones who got sway. They have influence. The casual fan can't sit around and say, okay, you know, I can sit here and recite stats and numbers. I can do that all night long. How many of us can identify team to team the owners? You could think about 5, sometimes 10, 15, 20 players on one singular team. This is an entertainment product that you sit down, you consume on a Sunday, Saturday, Monday, Thursday. You sit and watch it. You ain't necessarily thinking about who owns the team. Well, who's writing the checks? Who's receiving the biggest check? But the talent, if you want to call them the labor, the group that's in a union, they can help shift it just a little bit. Barry is calling up from Portland. Barry, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, Romain?
I'm good, Barry. What's on your mind? How can the NFL adjust this issue here?
Okay, first of all, I agree with you about you got to do your part. A lot of black athletes feel they don't get that support from black people in the media. I'm glad you said that. The brother from Cleveland and Terrell hit it right on the spot. The players got to strike for equality, embarrass these owners, because these owners do not want to have to answer to Capitol Hill if that happens, okay? They will have to answer to the government if they get struck down for equality. The Rooney Rule was put in place because Johnny Cochran threatened them with a federal lawsuit. That's how the Rooney Rule got in place. They don't want to deal with the federal government. When the kneel down was happening, there was some talk that they was going to walk out if the commissioner put any pressure on them. You see how they changed the rules. Now you ain't got to come out. You stay in the tunnel. Even Jerry Jones changed. You have to put pressure on from the players because they hold the power. They're the players. No players on the field. They ain't got no game. But things have, you know, that's the way you got to change it. If you don't, be complacent. We just can be in the same position. Here's a name that's not getting no play. Byron Leftwich. He calls the plays in Tampa. The media don't never mention him. He's been calling the plays for the last 2 years. Look what he's done with Tom Brady and Winston, Jameis Winston. Brother should be at least mentioned for an interview. That's not happening. All
right. Well, I don't know if Jameis.
Black people's racism.
Okay. Well, I got you, Barry. I feel you. I don't know if Jameis is the best example to go ahead and get you a job, but I understand, you know, what you're saying here. Barry, thank you so much for calling up from Oregon, man.
All right, bro, man.
You too. Let's go to Taurus. He's calling up from Georgia. Taurus, you on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, JR? How you doing?
I'm terrific. Go ahead.
Hey, number one reason why Eric Bieniemy, sorry, I'm at work. Eric Bieniemy did not get the Atlanta job because the powers that be, they got $40 million coming to them this year, so they got to keep him happy. So we ain't going to say who he is, but, you know, won't be said. So you got to keep him happy for a couple of years.
Taurus, it is. I'm sorry, Taurus. It's real loud. I know you at work making that money. Make that money. Too loud for the radio. Q's calling up from Houston. Q, you're on the JR Sport Brief Show.
How you doing, JR? What's happening, man?
I'm good. What are you thinking about the NFL and its hiring practices?
Well, you know, JR, it goes back. I'm a 59-year-old black man, and it all goes back to the good old boy system and systemic racism. You know, we all know the percentages, you know, the 75% players in the league and you know, black players. And, you know, the system is set up with the white people on top with all the power. Like the earlier caller said, that no one wants to give up power. But even when a black player such as Deshaun Watson right down here in Houston requests Eric Bieniemy, he still doesn't get anything done with it. And it's because these owners have such a ego that, you know, hey, they just don't want to listen. You got rid of this man's number one receiver without even talking to him, trading him off for basically nothing. And then when you say something, you know, it was like, you know, shut up, you know, we're not going to let the AKA inmates run the prison. You know, it's that kind of mentality.
Well, that's certainly what his dad said. Cal's pop, Bob, said, and, you know, we know he was ostracized for that. And Q, I agree with you from Houston. We certainly know it starts at the top. Starts with the owners. It is a matter of power, and it also boils down to the players and how much and how open they are to speaking up. And it's for everybody. You know, just as I said that the NFL isn't an organization, like most organizations, that's not going to be proactive because they're thinking about the bottom line first. They're thinking about a business. You know, it's so easy to look at human beings and look at us as all as, you know, a capital resource that you just run out there. And you forget the human element a lot of times. NFL ain't no different here. Steve is calling from Baltimore. Steve, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, JR. How you doing, Mike? Anyway, I'll be real quick. Look, it's the players. Look, if you want to have a change, sit out of here. Do something. But the NFL's not going to change. You got the same old owners that have owned all the same old teams since the inception of football, basically. So, you know, Rooney and Pittsburgh. I don't know all the owners. I'm just saying it's in the players' hands. If you want change, then you can't do more than just talk and send out tweets. You got to make action. Action will cause them to do something. And all I think that action is going to have to be sit out of here. Take a hit. That's my opinion.
All right. Thank you, Steve, for calling from Baltimore. And that's the tricky part. Because the majority of NFL players who, as we all know, they're making life-changing money. The majority of them are just trying to make a living. There are more NFL players who are just trying to get by than there are NFL players who are making, you know, quarterback $35 million a year money. And that's where it gets tricky. Like anything else, you got to deal with the union. But I do agree. The players hold a lot of influence. I don't know if sitting out a year is going to go ahead and move a needle in regards to the coaching space. It's just unfortunate. It's just the history of human beings. We have to wait for something bad to happen. We got to wait for the extreme before we start implementing smaller changes. You need that fire lit before you keep things rolling. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio. Speaking of coaches, when we come back, we're going to continue that conversation and talk about some of these coaches that have gotten hired and where these teams go next. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
That's right. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio. Man, since we're having a conversation about the coaches and the diversity, etc., you know, one of the coaches that I brought up was Sean McVay. And I gave him credit a few weeks ago. I said, damn it, if there was another coach just leading this squad, they'd be in a tough spot. Sean McVay is a very good coach. Got the job at 30 years old, something I don't think we'd see a minority having. But I digress on that. We spoke about it before the break. He's running that team. And I have told you up and down, and I've had this conversation with callers, I have not seen the Rams offensively as having a game breaker. You know, Cam Akers has kind of developed into that. It's still early on in his career, first year for us to go ahead and say that. But I'm not all that confident in Jared Goff. I'm not confident in what he's done, even going to the Super Bowl. It's not like he took them there. And so now the keys to the offense are in his lap. And even before he got hurt and broke his hand, this man was a turnover machine. And so there are words and there are stories right now which are indicative of a rift. Jared Goff is not happy that even after he came back from that hand surgery, that he wasn't initially just named the starter. And so Sean McVay, and this is, I want to play this. This is from earlier this season. He was upset at all of the turnovers. And we know who was turning the ball over. His name was Goff. Listen to Sean McVay, what he had to say.
Too many times we beat ourselves and we just have to play better. We're not taking good enough care of the football. And that's something that's got to change. Otherwise, I'm going to continue to sit up here and say this week in and week out. And it just can't continue to happen.
Yeah, he's a turnover machine, Jared Goff is. So from earlier in the season, when he was asked about the criticism that he's gotten and even from Coach McVay calling specifically him out about turning the football over, this is what Jared Goff had to say.
If he was lying, I'd feel differently about it. He's absolutely right. And I'm a big boy. I can handle it. We have a great relationship and I'm accountable for myself. I need to be better than that. I need to take care of the football. And he's absolutely right. And I will. And I have done that for majority of my entire football career and will continue to take care of the football better.
Yeah, we know. When I look at this team, yeah, we can look at all of the defensive weapons and what they have from an Aaron Donald. Unfortunately, he was hurt, wasn't at his best in the playoffs. We can go ahead and look at the fact that there was no Cooper Kupp. He was hurt. We can say that Jared Goff had a busted up hand. The reality is, unless we're going to go ahead and then just go get a time machine and plug it in the wall and say, hey, Todd Gurley, come back here with some knees that aren't broken. I don't know how Jared Goff can win unless he has excellent, like all pro level weapons around him. I see him as being an average quarterback. I think he might even end up in that space of, a Kirk Cousins. Good enough to get numbers here and there. Good enough to put you in the game, good enough to put you out. Ultimately, not good enough to consistently win just based upon his own talent. And so, yeah, Jared Goff and Sean McVay, they got some mending to do. They got some kissing up to do. I just don't see Jared Goff being a quarterback who is going to just lead the way for you to get to a Super Bowl. I see Jared Goff basically as what happened already. Someone who was an accessory on the way there. Not someone who laid out and opened up a big can where he participated. I don't see that. And so ultimately, I wouldn't be upset. I wouldn't be mad if one day Jared Goff was gone. Because I don't think he is the answer to get them over the hump to a Super Bowl. And quite frankly, I don't think McVay does either. He looked pretty happy knowing that he had Wolford out there and that Wolford at least could run around and be mobile, that he looked like a quarterback who was someone capable of playing in this generation, in this era. Jared Goff is who he is, and I've seen enough of him where I don't see huge improvement. I don't see huge jumps and strides ahead of Jared Goff. He got paid his money, and it just looks like, hey, he's cool with who he is. Some checks are still going to come. Question to you, 855-212-4CBS. McVay already kind of looks at him sometimes and goes, man, stop turning the ball over. Win us some damn games. We went to the Super Bowl, but you ain't the answer. Do you believe that Jared Goff is the answer at quarterback? Do you believe he's a quarterback that can take the Rams back to a Super Bowl? Or is he basically what we've seen? Do you see any further improvement? Are you confident in him that he can lead the way? I don't think so. I think he's an average to slightly above average quarterback. And he can go to a Super Bowl. You can go to a Super Bowl as we've seen with Jared Goff. He just won't be the guy to lead you there. I don't believe in him. We're going to take a break and get your calls, 855-212-4CBS. What are your thoughts on Jared Goff? Is he ultimately going to go back to a Super Bowl? Is he going to lead them there? Your calls when we come back. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
That's right. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. The phone lines are open before I get ready to roll out. You heard it. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. Conversation we're having right now. Jared Goff. Seems like there's a beef between Goff and his head coach, Sean McVay. Sean McVay certainly wasn't happy with his turnovers throughout the course of the season. Even going into the postseason, you know, he had an option of putting him out there. Even with an injured hand, his hand got forced, pardon the pun, when Wolford went down with that neck injury. And then Goff was pretty miffed that he didn't start off. So they have some fences to mend there. Who's Goff to talk? I mean, I know they went to the Super Bowl a couple of seasons ago, two years ago, but it's not because Jared Goff led the way. It's not because he was some type of world beater out there. So I know he's getting paid the big bucks, but that doesn't mean he's in the upper echelon of quarterbacks here. Not at all. The phone lines are open before I get ready to roll out. 855-212-4CBS. Let's go to Michigan, and let's talk to Cody. Cody, you're on CBS Sports Radio. What are your thoughts on Goff and McVay? Is Goff going to take them anywhere again?
Hey, how you doing? Absolutely not. I think he's real similar to a Jimmy Garoppolo. Like, his team gets him there. He had a way above average team. It's basically plug and play. You throw above average quarterback there, you're going to get to the playoffs. And if you had a good quarterback, you'd make it much further. It brings to the question, you know, Michigan guy I am, does Holmes reach out to his old team and try to trade Stafford there? He has a lot of weapons, Woods, Kupp, Everett, Higgs, and not to mention the defense that they got, you know? So, like, yeah. If you're missing that one piece, that elite quarterback, Matt Stafford, you know, they're talking about a retooling and everything. We can get draft picks for Stafford, and then you're getting yourself an actual quarterback that can bring you somewhere.
Yeah, I think that Matthew Stafford, and I agree with you. Thank you so much, Cody, for calling from Michigan. I take a look at Matt Stafford. You have a new head coach who, by the way, just he sounds ready to, I don't know, go out there and just Mike Tyson somebody's ear or eat their children or whatever the case may be. And Matthew Stafford, why are you sticking around? You might as well start over. I would hopefully keep some of the weapons. Maybe you can keep Galladay, but let Matt Stafford go somewhere else. And speaking of their head coach, the new Lions head coach, Dan Campbell, former player, tight end in the league, was an assistant to Sean Payton in New Orleans. He got the job. And we played this last hour. And let's just say Dan Campbell, he is ready to be violent. Let's put it that way. Listen to what Dan Campbell had to say to the Lions fans, to the city, to the media during his introductory press conference.
This place has been kicked. It's been battered. It's been bruised. And I can sit up here and give you coach speak all day long. I can give you, hey, we're going to win this many games. I can't. But none of that matters, and you guys don't want to hear it anyway. You've had enough of that. So excuse my language. All right. Here's what I do know is that this team is going to take on the identity of this city. All right. And this city's been down, and it found a way to get up. All right. It's found a way to overcome adversity. All right. And so this team's going to be built on we're going to kick you in the teeth. All right, and when you punch us back, we're going to smile at you. And when you knock us down, we're going to get up. And on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off, all right? And we're going to stand up. And then it's going to take two more shots to knock us down, all right? And on the way up, we're going to take your other kneecap, and we're going to get up. And then it's going to take three shots to get us down. And when we do, we're going to take another hunk out of you. Before long, we're going to be the last one standing, all right? That's going to be the mentality.
Damn, I mean, that is... That's very detailed. That is extremely detailed. That was either well thought out or not thought out at all. But here's one thing. As I say, folks in Detroit, folks, sports fans, Lions fans, they deserve better. He cannot be any worse than Matt Patricia. Can he? Like, realistically? And I'm pretty sure Matt Patricia was sitting at home and, you know, he probably doesn't give a damn. But I'm pretty sure that he's sitting around going, that's who you replace me with? Him? Andre's calling from Mississippi. Andre, you're on CBS Sports Radio. What's on your mind?
How you doing, big man?
I'm good. You're live, Andre. Go ahead.
Okay, I was wanting to come in on Jared Goff. Man, sure. I think Jared Goff is going to be okay, man. When you look at the quarterbacks that's out there and bag of quarterbacks, I mean, who can you go to? You don't want to pick up Jameis Winston. He's not good enough. So I think Jared Goff, I think he's going to be okay with the Rams. Compared to the team they have with the defense and the running game, all he got to do is just don't turn the ball over. And I think the Rams going to be okay.
Okay. Well, Andre, I'll tell you this much, and thank you for calling from Mississippi. The key word that you used, okay. I don't know if okay is going to be good enough to get them back to a Super Bowl. I don't know if okay is going to be good enough to get them back to a championship game. Okay is good enough for the Rams to be competitive in their division, which is tough as hell. And then also maybe go to the playoffs. But saying that Jared Goff is okay is exactly how I and a whole lot of people feel about him. His ass is okay. Stan is calling up from Ontario. Stan, you're on CBS Sports Radio. What do you think about Goff?
How are you, brother?
I'm terrific. What's up?
I think Jared Goff's a bust. My God, man. He throws all the different colored jerseys but his own team. He's absolutely pathetic. I remember when we had Jimmy and Jack Youngblood back in the days. That's when we called the L.A. Rams. I call them the Lambs now.
Well, even now? I mean, they're only a couple of years removed from the Super Bowl.
Yeah, not with him. He never took us anywhere. Great defense, half-decent offense, but no, No, we need a quarterback, brother. That's the only reason why we're not going to the show again. It's just too bad because even years ago, we always got beat by the Steelers or the Dallas Cowboys, eh? And no, I'm sorry. We need a quarterback, brother.
Okay. Well, thank you, Stan, for calling up from Ontario, Canada. Eh?
All the best to you.
You as well. Thank you so much, Stan. Yeah, I think he needs a supreme supporting cast around him. And we know it's a team sport. It's a team game. I think it's convenient at times for us to say that or not recognize that point. But he's not the type of guy that's going to take you over the top by himself. He's not in that upper tier of quarterbacks. I wouldn't necessarily put him in that second tier of, hey, let's prove it. As Andre from Mississippi said, Jared Goff is okay. And okay ain't good enough. I'm sorry. And speaking of good enough, I got to remind you, we didn't get a chance to talk about it last night. You know, last week when James Harden was traded from the Rockets to the Nets, we had a lot of people who were saying, oh, it's not going to work. Oh, they're going to suck. Oh, James Harden's not going to fit. He can't play the way he played in Houston and Brooklyn. I'm just like, of course he's not. But that team is just going to put up points. I don't worry about what they do offensively. And so last night was their first game together. Kyrie Irving, James Harden, Kevin Durant. Brooklyn lost 147-135 in two overtimes. Kyrie, 37 points. Kevin Durant, 38. Harden, 21. And the point here isn't so much about the offense. They'll figure that part out. It's that their defense, and I think they're going to go out there and get another player to help on the defensive side of the ball. But Brooklyn, they're giving up more points than just about anybody in the NBA right now. They're giving up more shots than anybody, about 96 a game. They're fifth most in points, 116. They're just treating every single game like a shootout. I mean, and Steve Nash, who, by the way, wasn't, you know, defensively inclined when he played, not at all. This is what he had to say about his own team's defense.
It's definitely early doors as far as this new team and this new group learning to defend together and how we can be effective defensively. You know, that's got to be one of the part of our game that we're going to focus on the most going forward.
Well, you don't say. James Harden, who can hold you down in the post just because he's pretty strong, not known as a plus defender, not by a long shot. This is what James Harden, he makes defense sound real easy. Listen up.
We started off the game very, very, very good. Just the entire game, we just got to find a way to get stops when we need to. Offensively, they're not statistically, they're not a very good team, but they made some shots tonight. So we just got to watch some film, get better, and, chip away.
How about James Harden, the guy that makes defense sound so easy? The Brooklyn Nets, I still expect them, unless they get hurt, I expect them to be in the Eastern Conference Finals. I expect them to go to the Finals. There's going to have to be some roster tweaks at the same time. But they're certainly fun to watch as they try to outgun everybody with three of the NBA's best offensive players on one side of the ball. The Lakers knocked off the Milwaukee Bucks tonight, 113-106. The Jazz beat the Pelicans, 129-118. And the New York Knicks, who play defense, best defensive team in the league. Shoutouts to Coach Thibodeau. The Knicks beat the Warriors tonight, 119-104. A basketball team that you won't see, at least for the next several games, that happens to be the Memphis Grizzlies. Why? Because the whole team is not playing. The NBA has postponed their games. They pretty much have strengthened their approach to COVID. And so, Valanciunas, I believe, is the only guy in protocol. But the NBA has taken such strict measures because of contact tracing that the Grizzlies, I believe it's going to be about four games that they will not be in action. Players are no longer allowed to go out to restaurants to eat. It's basically hotel, practice, and that's it. You're not going to get too much out of there. The food is being catered. So the NBA, there's a solid reason why they didn't announce the entire schedule. And here you have it. We're going to figure out what that second half looks like as even it seems like the Wizards. I can't even keep track of who's playing who's not playing. It's just a wild time in the NBA, just like the NFL is thrilled that they're basically almost done with their season. And by the time they come back later this year, hopefully this is not a problem that they have to deal with or worry about. Even the Blue Jays, we know the Toronto Raptors are playing in Tampa right now. The Blue Jays, to get their season in Major League Baseball, they might also start things off and stay in Florida just to kind of get this season under wraps and underway. So what can you do? We're all trying to move things ahead, all right? And speaking of moving ahead, all good things must come to an end. I'm getting ready to move on out. Okay, listen, folks. I will be back tomorrow, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Pacific. Before I roll out, I want to say thank you to everybody who called up. It didn't matter if we had a conversation about a quarterback who's under pressure. It didn't matter if we talked about the NFL and its hiring practices. Thank you for calling. Thank you for messaging me, tweeting me, all of that good stuff. And even for the gentleman who said, oh, you didn't answer me on Facebook. Damn it, how many people do you think reach out to me? I'm only but one guy. And guess what? I legitimately answer the messages. I do it. Nobody else. And thank you to super producer Stu Kovacs. Like I said, I'll be back tomorrow, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Pacific. I'm on all social media at JR Sport Brief. I'll catch you tomorrow. Don't you worry about me. But right now on CBS Sports Radio, Amy Lawrence, she's coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.